His anger over the dysfunction of the U.S. economy led him to write, direct, and produce Inside Job, the Oscar-winning documentary about the 2008 financial collapse. But unlike a typical Hollywood ending, Charles Ferguson may have picked up an Academy Award, but here the righteous filmmaker did not save the day.
Forgive me, I must start by pointing out that 3 years after a horrific financial crisis caused by massive fraud, not a single financial executive has gone to jail, and that's wrong.
Charles Ferguson at the Academy Awards noting a truth about the financial collapse and those he says who are responsible for it that holds today. Ferguson is the author of the new book Predator Nation, which was his attempt to explore in more detail than a documentary film can just how much was known in advance of the collapse by key players. Investment banker Goldman Sachs, he says, for instance, understood completely that AIG would eventually collapse, sending shockwaves throughout the broader economy.
Goldman, both on real estate-related securities that they continue to hold and also on other securities that they didn't own that were just out there in the world, they started betting against them. And they started taking out credit insurance, credit default swap insurance, on those securities, and they did this massively. They purchased over $20 billion worth of credit insurance from AIG.
And basically that said, it was a $20 billion insurance policy that said if these other investments go bad, AIG is obligated on some level to pay up, right?
Yes. And insurance isn't really the correct term for it in most cases. In some cases, Goldman was literally insuring itself. But in other cases, Goldman was making bets on securities that it didn't own. And so it was essentially betting that somebody else's house was going to burn down and that they knew that that house was going to burn down. And they turned out to be right. And Goldman collected enormous sums of money. And in addition to that, shortly after it took out all of this credit insurance, Goldman began marking down the valuations of the securities that it held very, very aggressively. And with each markdown in the value of those securities, it demanded and was able to collect money from AIG.
Did AIG have any weapons here? In other words, were they powerless to stop Goldman from essentially pushing them towards the precipice?
By that point, they largely were powerless. They fought back. They challenged Goldman's valuations, and there were some very fierce fights between AIG and Goldman. But over the course of 2008, AIG paid out more than $18 billion in claims, real estate-related CDS claims, and over 40% of that money went to Goldman Sachs.
And then AIG goes belly up and gets a $80 billion or so bailout from the U.S. government, a $69 billion bailout from the U.S. government. How much of that goes almost immediately to Goldman?
Within a few days, $14 billion was transferred to Goldman Sachs.
And as a citizen of the United States, can I call up somewhere in Washington, D.C. and get an explanation of that transaction, see it? Is there any sort of public disclosure here?
Well, public statements, of course, were made about this, but both the federal government and the Federal Reserve, not to mention, of course, the companies, have been very aggressive in failing to disclose and, in fact, trying to conceal the details of the discussions that led to those transactions.
Let's talk about corporate governance that was supposed to have been rectified in some sense or improved or regulations put in place that would protect shareholders after the Enron disaster, the Sarbanes-Oxley law. What happened at Lehman Brothers, which said in 2008 that Sarbanes-Oxley was, in a sense, a joke?
Well, the law is not a joke. The enforcement of the law has been a joke. What happened in Lehman that's particularly striking is in May of 2008, a man by the name of Matthew Lee, who was a senior vice president at Lehman in charge of Lehman's global balance sheet, became so disturbed at what he was seeing that he wrote a memorandum, a very, very direct, extraordinary memorandum that I quote at some length in the book.
It's amazing. He says, these guys have no idea what's on their books, and they're telling you it's worth $10 billion.
They're telling you it's worth tens of billion dollars more than it might be worth. Yes, that's right. And in the memo, he says, I feel compelled to warn you about this situation for legal and ethical reasons. And he hand-delivered that memo to four senior Lehman executives, including Lehman's chief financial officer. The Sarbanes-Oxley law states that CFOs and CEOs must certify the adequacy, the accuracy of their financial statements and the adequacy of their internal financial controls. Mm. And there are criminal penalties in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. You can go to prison for violating your Sarbanes-Oxley violations. And yet, Lehman's executives continued to certify their financial statements and their internal controls.
And this book, Predator Nation, and we're talking with filmmaker and author of Predator Nation, Charles Ferguson, is full of great scenes, intense scenes of subterfuge, of sort of financial maneuvering and the whistleblowing. But there is not a courtroom scene in this book, nor has there been in America. Why?
No courtroom scenes. There has not been a single criminal prosecution of a senior Wall Street executive or a major bank with regard to the behavior that led to the crisis. And as to why, I think, unfortunately, the conclusion that I've been forced to, rather unwillingly, actually, is that Wall Street and the financial sector now have so much political power that our government is afraid of prosecuting them.
If I'm politically engaged, if I care about the future of this country and the economy, and I'm listening to your voice right now, what would you suggest that I do?
Well, depending on how large your appetite for effort and suffering might be, I think that starting a new organization that is not part of the two-party system, if not a third political party, a nonpartisan movement analogous to the organizations that led the environmental movement or the women's movement or the civil rights movement, I think that's where progress and change on these issues is going to come from.
All right. To Charles Ferguson, filmmaker and author of the book Predator Nation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.